Welcome to My Life as a Landlord, where we educate curious U.S. and Canadian landlords, answer rental questions, and clear up confusions about all things housing. If you're looking for some landlord education, interesting guests, and awkward conversations, you've come to the right show. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer Salisbury. This is My Life as a Landlord. Welcome to it. Well, hello there. Thanks for joining me. I am Dr. Jen. I'm so excited for you joining me today. In the world of landlording, you never know who you're going to run into. And I've run into a super dynamic, interesting entrepreneur who does not live in the U.S., but is American and very much invested in the U.S. Wait till you hear all about this. We get to talk today about remote and overseas investing from someone who is doing this every day. Welcome to the show, Brian Davis.
Dr. Jen, thank you so much for having me.
Well, we met on Facebook group, landlord group. So that's how we met, because, you know, there's only so many places you can go on Facebook, and your Facebook group has been fantastic. How long have your Facebook group been going? What's the name of your Facebook group? All of that.
Yeah. So it's the Landlords, Real Estate Investors and Property Managers Hub on Facebook. I think there's, around 48,000 members at this point. It's very active, super high engagement. No spam, because it's very heavily moderated and policed. And we launched that group, I think, in 2017. So it's old. it's been out there for a while. Old in the best possible sense. It's vintage.
That is awesome. Well, and I enjoy, you've got some folks that are very active on it. Tara is active on it. And I love that she goes, hey, today's Wednesday. Give me your wins. Give me any wins. And so every once in a while I'll jump in, but it's really fun to read other people's wins and lessons and questions, and just, it really brings out it's very active, very active. So listeners, if you are looking for a spot, on Facebook, definitely Facebook group, it's a great resource. And but you also have a podcast. Tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, our podcast is called Live Off Rents by Spark Rental, and it's a weekly podcast. We keep the episodes really short and sweet, like 15 to 20 minutes, because we're all busy, right? And you know, even the podcast that I love, when I see an episode that's like an hour and a half long, I'm like, oh God, do I have an hour and a half? I don't know. Like, so we try to keep them really punchy, short and sweet. You know, every week we bring on a different guest who's in some other niche in real estate investing or in investing in personal finance, perhaps the pursuit of financial independence. But we're trying to just push people's boundaries and show people different niches and different ways of going about pursuing financial independence that maybe they're not familiar with.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, remote overseas investing, Brian, tell us where you are. Tell us the story. How on earth did this even happen?
Oh, man. Well, so to answer the simplest question first, I am in Lima, Peru at the moment. We moved here last June. My wife is an international school counselor. So she works at like U.S. embassy schools or other international schools around the world. We did 4 years in Brasilia before moving here. We did 4 years in Abu Dhabi before that. So we've been around the block a little bit, and it's fun. It's so much fun. And by the way, if you are in education and if you've ever thought about going international as an educator, it's a really sweet gig. I mean, we get paid free furnished housing and like nice housing. I mean, our apartment is on the Pacific Ocean with an 180 degree view of the ocean and a balcony on the 13th floor overlooking the ocean. I mean, it's amazing. I look at the sunset every night and wonder, like, how did this become my life? And we don't have to pay a cent for it. It's amazing. We get paid flights home to the US every year. We get full premium health coverage for the entire family. Anyway, super sweet gig, but that's a bit of a tangent there. So we've been abroad since 2015, and it's been great. It's been fun, although it comes with its challenges, of course. And one of those for me was when we moved abroad, I had, 15, 16 rental properties back in Baltimore, where I'm from. And I had some hard lessons that I still had to learn. I thought I'd learned all the hard lessons over the past, 12, 13 years. No, still had some hard lessons to learn around those. But that's a whole nother story in itself.
Now, do you still have your properties? No.
No, I divested those properties. It was just to recap really quickly, I realized how much I had been subsidizing those properties with my own labor. Because I got into rental properties the same reason that most people do, right? Is the passive income. And then you kind of realize that it's not always that passive. In fact, it's often not passive at all. And I bought these properties at, the worst point in history. I bought them back in like the mid-aughts and made every mistake in the book. I was in my 20s at the time and I was super arrogant and just thought I could figure it all out myself. Didn't need a mentor, didn't need a coach, didn't need any training or courses or any of that stuff. And of course I did. So I had to, instead of paying a very tiny bit of tuition, I paid enormous tuition in the form of losses and negative cash flow and hard won lessons. Anyway, so I move overseas and I realized that my very mediocre returns on those first properties that I bought were actually worse than they looked on paper, because I had been putting in so much of my own effort to try to keep them afloat, So I was like, this is not working. I gotta get rid of these. So I got rid of the bad ones, the good ones. I just said, I'm half a world away in the UAE. I can't be messing around with these properties back in the States anymore.
So you were in the UAE before you were in Peru.
Yeah, we were in the UAE for 4 years, then moved to Brazil, and now we're in Lima, Peru.
That's incredible. So it sounds like expat life overseas is pretty great. Are there other expats there? I'm assuming yes.
Yeah. And depending on where you are in the world, there could be a ton of expats or very few. So in Abu Dhabi, in the UAE, the statistic is crazy. It's something like 86% of the population of the UAE are expats.
What?
Yeah. I mean, so the actual Emirati citizens, it's a tiny fraction of the population.
That's crazy. So, I would never guess that.
Yeah. So to the point where they've basically created this high-end welfare state that is largely dysfunctional. And the reason they've been able to get away with that, of course, is they can literally pull money out of the ground in the form of oil and just give money to the tiny percentage of the population who are actual citizens.
Right.
And then the rest of the population, they're there on their terms, right? So, you gotta toe the line if you want to be there. So
that's amazing.
But anyway, so Brasilia, there were relatively few expats there. I mean, we still had good friends from all over the world. Here in Lima, it's a pretty big expat population. A lot of Americans and Brits and some Europeans. So it's a huge city, by the way. People don't realize in the States how big of a city Lima is. It's around the same size as New York City.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge city.
Oh my goodness. How long are you going to be in Peru for? Do you know?
We moved here for a 2-year contract for my wife, Katie's work. And then we can extend year by year after that. So all of the contracts that she's had so far starts as a 2-year contract. And then you extend 1 year at a time after that.
I see. Well, what else is on your bucket list of where you'd want to live?
I mean, since moving abroad, we've wanted to live in Europe, preferably Eastern Europe or Central Europe or maybe Southern Europe. When we were living in Abu Dhabi, every time we flew back and forth to the US, we tried to do a stopover for 3, 4, 5 days in Europe. So we spent a lot of time in Europe, love it. The compensation packages for international educators tend not to be as good in Europe as they are in South America, Asia, Middle East, Africa. So yeah, we would like to get to Europe. They also hire later in the year, in the school calendar year, than other regions of the world. So you have to turn down all the other jobs around the world in hopes that you might get offered a job in Europe. So that's tricky as well. But we'd like to get there eventually. We love South America, and there's still a ton of South America we haven't seen yet. So we're happy for now here in South America.
And you were just in Chile on vacation, which sounds like it was cool.
Oh, it was amazing. We did a 2-week road trip in Chile. It was a one-way road trip. So we rented a car in Santiago, flew in there, and then drove south and flew back from Puerto Montt, which is kind of northern Patagonia. But yeah, we spent most of the trip in Chile and the Lake District of Chile. We also spent a couple days in Chilean wine country, kind of right in the immediate couple hours south of Santiago. It was great. It was awesome. Amazing hiking, beautiful volcanoes. Some of those volcanoes, by the way, they look like something out of a fantasy movie. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, they're so big and so like perfectly conical that you get these like this cloud cover that surrounds the base of the volcano. So from hundreds of kilometers away, you can see the top of the volcano, but not the bottom. And it looks like it's just floating in the sky. It's just, it's crazy. It seriously looks like something out of a fantasy movie.
That is
anyway,
awesome.
I digress.
Well, what the listeners really want to hear about is they want to hear about how you're making money while you're doing all of this. So let's talk about your real estate investing that is completely hands off. How are you doing all of that remotely? Tell us how that's all working.
Yeah. So my business partner and I founded a company called Spark Rental back in 2016 when I was already living abroad. And we started out really focusing on education for real estate investors, and in particular rental investing, but also other types of real estate investing. And at a certain point, I felt a little out of alignment or out of integrity or whatever you want to call it, that I was not actively investing in real estate myself at that time, you know, being overseas, but we're teaching that. And that's a big criticism with a lot of, like, you know, the so-called gurus out there and stuff. You know, they're people who are no longer actually doing what they're teaching. And that kind of sucks, right? Like, I mean, you want to learn from someone who's, like, in the trenches with you every day, like doing that stuff.
Right.
And therefore, like, staying on top of the constantly changing trends. So, you know, a lot of we were teaching courses on real estate investing, and we were, you know, constantly blogging about it and podcasting about it. And our students and our audience members kept coming to us with the same question of, hey, how can I just invest with you guys? You know, can I just partner with you guys on one of your current projects? And we kept saying, no, you can't. And finally, my partner and I looked at each other and we were like, what would it take for us to say yes to this? because, you know, the market is trying to tell us something, even if we were too dumb to listen to it the first 150 times that it asked us this question, right? So we went to the drawing board. We partnered with a boots on the ground real estate investor. It's a guy up in Michigan. And we did a couple deals, single family investments with him that we opened up to our audience members as sort of learning experiences. And also, you know, you earn money at the same time, you know, you earn a return while you're kind of learning the ropes. And it was just way too much work, like way too much work. And we weren't actually it wasn't monetized. Like, we weren't making money directly on this. So, you know, it was just taking up a ton of time and not making us any money. And we were like, wow, this is why no one else is actually doing this, right? Like, but we liked the idea of, so we called it co-investing. And we liked the idea of co-investing. And it was around this time that I had started personally investing in private equity real estate, so real estate syndications. And if anyone is not familiar with that term, real estate syndications, it's just a fancy term for group real estate investments where people passively put money towards a large property project, like an apartment complex, and you basically become a fractional owner in it. So it's not as big and scary as it sounds. You know, people hear the words private equity or they hear the words real estate syndication and they get really intimidated. It's not intimidating. You can learn the fundamentals in an hour, seriously. Unlike active real estate investing, there are a lot of little micro skills required to go out and buy rental properties, for example, as you know, from lining up funding to figure out how to find good deals, because they're not just sitting around the MLS, right?
No.
You know, to underwriting those deals and working with contractors and dealing with city inspectors and managing tenants and managing property managers and managing contractors. I mean, all of these are skills in themselves, and it takes a long time to master those skills. And in the meantime, you're probably not earning the kind of returns that you were hoping to earn when you first got into real estate investing. And that's not the case with passive real estate investing. It's completely hands-off. Doesn't mean that there's no skill involved, but it's so hands-off that there just isn't that much skill involved. It's just underwriting deals or underwriting investments is the only skill. And you can learn the fundamentals of that pretty quickly. And you can invest alongside of other people, which is what we do. We have an investment club, and that's exactly what we do.
Well, tell us about your investment club. Come on.
Yeah. So it's, if you imagine like a classic old school investment club where a bunch of people get together every month and, you know, maybe they sip brandy and smoke a cigar or something and they talk about stocks and they pick stocks and they invest in those stocks together. It's kind of like that, except instead of stocks, we invest in passive real estate investments. And it's virtual. We're not sitting in like a cedar plank room or something, you know what I mean? Like, we get together on Google or Zoom every month, twice a month actually. we vet different deals together. We discuss them. We bring in the syndicator to grow them together as a club, vet the deals together as a club. And then whoever wants to invest in that deal can do so if they choose. No one has to invest in anything, purely optional each month. And they can do so with a much smaller amount than you would typically need to invest in private equity real estate. So normally, if you're going to invest by yourself in private equity real estate, in real estate syndications, one of the barriers to entry is the high minimum investment, 50 grand, 100 grand, sometimes 250 grand. And that's not chump change, right? I mean, that's a lot of money for the average person. So in our club, 5 grand is the minimum. Again, not chump change, but it's a far cry from 50 or 100 grand.
Right.
So it lets you dollar cost average your real estate investments, you know, putting relatively small amounts of money towards different projects every month instead of, you know, having to save up a whole bunch of money to park in one single family rental or one real estate syndication. And then you sit there gnawing on your teeth, worrying about how that is performing, you know?
Right. Very cool. All right. So how much does it cost to get into your club? Because now I'm interested.
Yeah. Yeah. So we charge a flat membership fee, and that is our only form of compensation. So we charge $59 a month or $497 a year to be a member in the club. We do not get a cut of any of the money that's invested. We're not selling securities ourselves, right? Like these aren't our investments that we're vetting each month. We bring in other people's investments to vet together. And then I invest right in there alongside all of our members every month in these deals. So,
So
to go full circle there, I am back in the trenches with our students, with our members, you know, with our audience, investing alongside them.
That is very cool. So even though you're an expat and you're still filing US taxes and all of that, they don't really care where you are physically, right? It, as long as you're making money, whether it's active or passive, it still goes on your tax returns, the same as if it was if you were located in the US, right?
That's right. Yeah. So I do still have to file US tax returns every year.
Sure.
However, expats get to take advantage of the foreign earned income exclusion.
Ooh.
Which, yeah. So basically, I don't want to go down too much of a rabbit hole of like tax code,
okay.
But the short version is that roughly the first $115,000 of income each year is tax-free in the U.S. when you're an expat. And that the exact amount, you know, goes up every year, you know, based on what the IRS dictates. But that's the short version. Now, that's for regular earned income. And you know, passive income counts as part of that as well. Or self-employment income, that's separate. You still have to pay self-employment taxes, you know, the double FICA taxes.
Yeah.
But your regular income taxes, roughly the first 115 grand a year per adult is tax-free. So a married couple around 230 grand a year is tax-free. And then after that, you know, you start paying. But that's another perk of being an expat.
Nice. Now, do you do your taxes yourself or do you have an accountant do it?
No, I have an accountant.
You have an accountant. Okay. So
you know,
listeners,
for years I did. Yeah. But it's
too
just,
much.
I don't, I'm at a point in my life where I'd rather pay an expert to do it. And you know, if you mess up your taxes, when your taxes are somewhat complicated, like mine are, and you know, they're easy to mess up, right?
Yeah.
But if you mess it up, like the IRS can come down on you with like, you know, hellfire and brimstone and sulfur and so, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with the IRS is the bottom line there.
No, I get that. Oh my goodness. Well, I know we're throwing out a lot of terms and a lot of different things, but if listeners out there, if you've got any questions about that, talk to your own accountants. They will describe it for you. Don't take us, our what we're talking about here is tax advice. It's certainly not that. But let's pivot here, Brian. We had talked about goals in 2023, goals in 2024. And you mentioned something that really resonated with me about living with intention and being intentional. And you had a great description about it. I'd love for you to share. Can you explain what that means and how you've applied that intention in your own life?
Yeah. So I'm really big on lifestyle design. You know, some people find that term pretentious. I don't. I mean, it's really just comes down to intentionality, right? I mean, trying to design every aspect of your life with intentionality instead of just letting things happen to you or falling into things mm-hmm. like so many of us do. I mean, I fell into my career when I was 22 and graduating college, like many of us do, right? And that's the opposite of intentional. So I have tried, you know, over the last 10 years or so, I've tried to take more of an active role in intentionally designing every part of my life, from living overseas as an expat to building streams of income that I can earn from all over the world. You know, whether that's passive income, like what we're investing in, you know, in our club, you know, these syndications and notes and stuff like that, these passive real estate investments. It's also active income, you know, business income from Spark Rental. I still do a little bit of freelance writing on the side, largely to appease my wife. Because, I mean, as you know, when you run your own business, it's a roller coaster, right? The income is up and down and sideways and all over the place, and it's unpredictable. And some people have a hard time sleeping at night when that's the case. So, you know, so she and I decided years ago that, you know, she would be okay with me starting a business, but she asked that I had some kind of income floor. So I do some freelance writing. I love it. So, you know, but just building out these multiple streams of income. So I have many different streams of passive income at this point, you know, both real estate investments and, you know, dividend paying stocks and, you know, private notes and real estate crowdfunding investments and so on and so on. And multiple streams of active income as well. And just building all that out, it takes time. It takes, again, intentionality. But, you know, this is what it is, you know, to live a life that at the end of the day, you say, this is actually the life I want to be living and not the life that I fell into by accident.
Lifestyle design. It's fantastic. Really. I really like that concept. That's pretty cool. Well, tell us, what do you write when you freelance write? What do you write about?
Well surprise, surprise, mostly real estate.
Real estate.
but personal finance. So I've written for a lot of publications over the years, but it's mostly been about investing, you know, whether more traditional investments like paper investments, stocks, bonds, sure. Real estate investments, of course, and also personal finance, budgeting, the pursuit of financial independence, building passive income, you know, retiring early, and, you know, how to structure that. So it's a mix of all of the above.
I love it. I love it. Well, if the listeners want to know more about Spark Rental or your co-investing club or anything that you've talked about today, how would they figure that out? How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, just come to sparkrental.com. You'll see our co-investing club front and center there. you can email me personally, brian@sparkrental.com. That's Brian, B-R-I-A-N. I know there's a lot of different ways of spelling that name. So yeah, email me. You can also email support@sparkrental.com. We have a very small team. We're a mom and pop company.
Yeah.
So reach out. Don't be a stranger. You can also find us on Facebook and LinkedIn, you know, all the major platforms. We have a YouTube channel for our podcast as well. So we're everywhere. Reach out. Don't be a stranger.
And your podcast is Live Off Rents Podcast by Spark Rental. So we want to make sure that you see that too. You're everywhere, man. Holy moly, you are busy and you're in Peru, which I love. I think that is super neat. Oh my goodness. Well, Brian, as I do with all of my podcasts, whether I'm talking about a US or a Canadian topic, whatever it may be, I always throw in a call to action. And for all you listeners out there, I want to make sure that really internalize a bit what Brian had said about how do you live with intention today? How can you create the lifestyle by design for you? So that's your call to action. Think about that. How would you live with intention? How can you create your lifestyle that you design instead of falling into it? Brian, thanks so much for joining me today. This has been a really nice, fun treat having you on the show. Thanks.
Dr. Jen, thank you so much.
Well, I'm looking forward. You've got a great podcast. I've listened to it. I've actually given you a review. I really enjoy it. It's very short and sweet. And you're right. It gives you a punch. It doesn't invest a whole lot of time, which is, you know, very important. That's good. So let me just say our outro here. Let me know for all you listeners out there, please let me know your comments and questions by emailing me at learn@mylifeasalandlord.com. That does go right to me, by the way. And your comments and questions create the next podcast and resources. And if you know of a really great guest like Brian that I should have on the show, there is a podcast guest application on the website as well. I'm always looking for dynamic guests to bring value to you. And there's other resources on the website, mylifeasalandlord.com. Check out the website for more details. Thank you once again, Brian.
Dr. Jen, I can't wait to have you on our show.
Oh, that would be great. I would have, I would love it. That would be fun. Join me next week, everyone. Episode 67 with guest David Pickler, who's going to give us an overall U.S. market update for 2024. I will see you there.
Thanks for joining us this week. For all the show notes and resources, check out mylifeasalandlord.com. Want to invest further in your landlord education? We've got a toolbox for you, wherever you are in your journey. Make sure you follow the podcast on the platform you're listening on. Thank you again for joining me, Dr. Jennifer Salisbury, in this episode of My Life as a Landlord. I'll see you next time.